following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again. And that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
Douglas, glad to have you back in the studio.
Daddy is back in studio. And now, Doug and Daddy show full strength.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Go bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Really? I'll tell you what. I got other ideas.
Everyone's back in studio, so let's get to the Doug and Daddy show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday edition where we're talking a lot of football. The voice of Western Kentucky, Randy Lee, will be joining us as we finally can officially get into Nebraska football. Plus, Mondays with Merkin Morris, the head football coach at UNK, Daryl Morris, the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz. And, well, it's Daddy. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm back. And it's good to be back to get the football season started. Doug, you bring up, we're going to talk to Randy Lee. This is a Western Kentucky team that is not good. There's big problems, and I know Coach Taggart's going to want to get this deal turned around rather quickly, but they are bad football team. You look at the points they surrendered a year ago. Their offense was 104th in the nation. It started off with Tennessee, just an absolute beatdown, 63-7. But this is a team that also squandered 62 points to Middle Tennessee State, 68 points to North Texas. Hopefully this offseason they got a little bit something going, because it's going to be a tough way to start the season if this defense is as good as it is advertised in Lincoln. And if Bo Pelini thinks his defense can be better than a year ago, seriously, can it be better than a year ago? Remember that defense a year ago? That's what everybody waited to see. When they came out, that's when the crowd got loud last year. The defense was fun to watch. They were one of the best in the nation. I don't know if it can be better. We'll have to wait and see. But if that's the case, this game's going to be ugly on Saturday.
By the way, it's a red light day. You know, I'd wanted it to be a green light day, but today was a red light day. Every light. Red, red, red. Moron cut you off. Red. Another moron. Red. Moron. Red, red, moron. Triple red moron day. Probably felt like a red light night on Saturday night, unfortunately, for the UNK football team. It's time for our Mondays with Merkin Morris, brought to you by Five Points Bank, your community bank. That means they invest in assets locally, make decisions locally, and take the time to know you. Five Points Bank, the better bank, truly cares about what's in it for you. And the second half was a little bit better than the first half, but it went to overtime for the fourth time in school history, and Wayne State gets the 24-17 victory. And to talk about it, and I guess give us the company line that now we got to follow last year's blueprint, Daryl Morris joins us. Coach, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, we're okay. You've had a day to digest. Obviously, this is not what you guys anticipated here. You've looked at film. Give us your breakdown.
Well, just, you know, too many mistakes. We didn't deserve to win the ball game, and subsequently we didn't win the ball game. I mean, you get a touchdown called back, you drop a touchdown pass on the same drive, you miss a field goal, you get a punt return called back because, you know, of a block in the back. You know, you just offensively, we just didn't play well enough to win the ball game. Suffered a couple of injuries. You know, Brendan Lease went out, Matt Berry went out, and Rustin Dring at the doctor's office all day Friday wasn't 100%. Spitzelberger didn't throw a pass till Thursday. So, you know, I think all those things added up. That was enough to help Wayne State beat us.
Dale, did we ever underestimate Wayne and how good this team is?
Oh, heck no. We don't underestimate anybody. We could play you and Doug, and we wouldn't underestimate you guys. So, I mean, we just don't do that here. We respect everybody, and there's not a team on our schedule that can't beat us if we don't play well.
Dale, did it feel like that second half that we just never had the football?
Well, we didn't have the football. I mean, they destroyed the third quarter. Our defense struggled to get itself off the field, which was disappointing. But you know, we couldn't get the third down taken care of on occasion. And I think we had the ball twice, and the second time we had it was with less than 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So, you know, that was a little bit of a challenge for us in the fourth quarter. But I thought the kids stepped up, you know, glass half full. Heck, we played that bad, guys, and still took that thing to overtime. So we've got a good football team. We just got to find it and hope that we can stay out of the doctor's office enough to have a football team left at the end of the year.
Daryl Morris, head football coach of the Lopers, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he does every Monday. The pass, you just kind of look at the stats. They weren't outstanding for any Wayne State player, but it seemed like they hit just enough bombs or enough big plays to do you guys in. What's the concern outside of the illness that they attacked?
Well, I mean, you know, the long pass they threw, I mean, we got a true freshman corner playing, and they picked on him. They caught him looking in the backfield and got a guy behind him, and the kid threw a strike with the wind, which we were not able to do when we had Kyle Kaiser open a couple times. So you got to give him credit for that. And then I think the play, you know, that really sticks in your craw is the little screen they ran. Heck, by their own admission, it was just a first down play. They were just trying to get a first down, and we get a linebacker that turns the wrong way, and, you know, guys just don't have a guy roll down in the secondary like he's supposed to, and before you know it, the guys are running for a touchdown. So, and we had just scored, and yesterday's game resembled last year's game, almost like you're writing a script for a movie. So it's a tough one to get over, man. There's no question about it.
Right down to the kicking game, both teams had young kickers, and even though they each hit one, they also each team had a few misses.
Yeah, well, ours, you know, into the wind, didn't hit it real well, got it on his toe and got too much backspin on it and got it too high, and of course the wind was blowing pretty well up there, so it just kind of blew it back. So, but all in all, I thought Michael did a nice job for us. He was our special team player of the week. He did hit a field goal when we needed it. There was a little bit of pressure there, kicking into the wind again. And his kickoffs were for, other than one, were placed exactly where we wanted him. So I got a touchback on one, kicked it into the end zone. So, you know, I think he's going to be a good player. He's just going to have to season a little bit and get some more experience.
Daryl, you look at the total yard your team gave up, and then you take those two long passes out of there. Really, maybe the defense didn't play that awful.
No, they didn't play that, but they didn't play that poorly. No, I mean, but to give up the two long plays, I mean, that's – they still count for touchdowns, and they were still momentum changers. And, you know, we had just scored. We had just gotten the momentum, and, you know, we kind of had them back down in there into the end zone a little bit and let them bang their way out a couple times. So, you know, we can play better football. We're going to play better football, and we're going to need to play better football to be successful.
Well, Kyle Kaiser obviously just had a bomb of a game. 8 catches, 146 yards for him. You got everything you could have wanted from this kid.
Oh, no question. He is a quality player, and I don't think we've played anybody that can, including UNO and those guys, have been able to really stop Kyle. And, you know, we just got to be able to hit him consistently when he's open. But he did a great job. The punt return was a big play. Unfortunate that got called back. And you know, but he's a quality player, and he's going to be a weapon for us all year long.
Daryl, are you looking for another receiver, obviously, to step up and take a little pressure off of Kyle?
Well, we're going to have to. With Brendan Lease probably not going to play this week because of his hamstring that he pulled on his touchdown run. And then Matt Berry's probably a little bit iffy as well when he got knocked goofy a little bit there on his kickoff return. Shane Carehair's got to step up, stay healthy, and make some catches for us, which he can do. And Matt Turco's going to have to get in there and kind of be a possession guy for us and throw some blocks. And we're going to move Justin Drudick to a wideout spot, which he has worked at some, but he's also been filling in the quarterback a little bit, so we're going to move him over to wideout full-time. But, yeah, we're going to need some guys across the board on both sides of the ball to step up for us.
Derek kind of obviously kind of looked at the stats and picked on the defense a little bit, but on third down conversions, 3 of 14 is not going to cut it at all.
No, I mean, it's not, and we understand that, and you know, you can bend stats any way you want, but we just didn't play well enough. We made too many mistakes, too many unforced errors, and had too many good plays called back because of mistakes to be successful against a good football team. So, you know, you got to tip your hat to Wayne. They came into our place. We had a great crowd, and I want to thank everybody that came out to watch us play. It was a great crowd. You know, we just made too many mistakes to win.
All right, time to circle the wagons and try and be ready for Saturday when you take on UNO, 15th ranked in the country. This is their first game, so maybe a little advantage at least from the standpoint you've went through one and they haven't.
Well, I think that is an advantage to us because, you know, it will take them a little bit of time to get up to game speed, and we have been through it. I mean, we have, punted the football and kicked off and returned and played offense and defense, so hopefully that will be in our favor. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for us, but we stepped up to it last year. We've done it before, so we can do it again.
What, as you've taken a look at, you can't really look at film, you can look at what they've got coming back, and they're always big, strong, and fast. What's really good about them coming back this year?
Well, I think, they are going to be big up front. They're going to be strong up front. I think they feel like their front four is probably going to be the strength of their defense. And I think they've brought in some wide receivers that they feel pretty good about. Not really sure what the quarterback situation is going to be, but I know the tailback is a quality back. I think he was a freshman of the year in the MIAA, so I'm sure he's got some ability. I think he had a hamstring pull earlier during two-a-days, but I expect him to play. So I think they're just going to be an all-around quality football team. Their kicker is an All-American, and I think they think he might be the most viable player on their team. So I look for him to be a factor in the ball game. So, you know, we're certainly going to have to play outstanding football and cut the mistakes down to a minimum.
Darrell, obviously they got a big playmaker at tight end as well in Mike Higgins, 50 catches a year ago. Who guards him?
Well, you know, you're going to mix that up a little bit and try to make them figure out who's going to guard him, whether it's a linebacker or a roll-down safety or a drop guy, or we're going to spy a guy in the middle or you know what. So, you know, we're going to have to let them try to figure that out from play to play as to who's going to try to keep track of him. But you are correct. He's a big kid, and he can catch the football, and he runs pretty good. So we're certainly going to have to keep an eye on him. There's no question they're going to try to get the ball to him and try to get him out in the flat and get him rumbling down the field. So we're going to have to keep an eye on him, no question.
Now the Lopers shut down the big play receiver last week. Let's see if they can do it again this week, and make sure you put your makeup on for the television camera.
No question.
Hey,
no question, Dick, guys.
Let's do what we did last year, turn it around and get a win streak going.
That's
here, Coach.
That's the plan.
All Make right. the world a better place. Punch the Mavericks in the face.
There you go.
We'll talk to you next Monday, Darrell.
Thanks, guys.
Darrell Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska, Kearney. Hey, just, blah. I mean, it's just that feeling, Tony. It's not the same feeling as we had in the past. I think UNK was expected to win this football game Saturday night, and you heard some of the reasons why they didn't. And, again, as you said, you know, Kyle Schultz, he was 50%. He hit two pretty big pass plays. They held one of the best, probably going to be the second best receiver in Wayne State history, to 11 yards, two catches. They just dug a hole that they couldn't get out of, and it's hard to get out of that hole when you don't have the ball in the second half. They played better in the second half offensively. And again, Gruber makes a 24-yard field goal there with 4.5 to go. But again, it's a 24-yard field goal. You're at the 7-yard line. You're in the red zone. Had a chance to win the football game and couldn't get it in. And even at the end there in overtime, the fourth down play wasn't a bad play, but you don't want to be in a fourth down situation in overtime, which got set up by a third down play that didn't look all that good.
Let's be honest, you know, maybe give a few props to the defense as well, because after having the ball 20 minutes in the second half, Wayne State's got the ball 20 minutes, people. They scored 0 points.
Yep.
So you take that as a big positive.
And
so
they stopped them in UNK territory a couple of times too.
So you know, I think that's big for the defense. And Kuhlman, I believe 18 tackles on the night, 16 or 18 tackles. Eric Kuhlman, great job from him, leading the way for that Bearcat Loper defense.
Also, penalties in the football game. Wayne State kind of hurt themselves there. Lopers had 6 for 50, but Wayne had 11 for 92, including a key one late in the ball.
Cheaters.
Game. So there you go. Well, Hastings College getting ready to open their season against Briar Cliff coming up on Saturday. They hit the road. The Broncos had another scrimmage over the weekend. And as we get ready for game week, our continuing Mondays with Merck and Morris, brought to you by Five Points Bank, brings in the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Well, it's game week for you. I guess anticipation is kind of like everybody else that gets ready for game week. Some teams have been through it, have got a chance to play. But again, we remind the folks, you guys started fall camp a little bit later, so it's really not all that different.
No, it's really not. I mean, we're going through the last week of preparation. We started prepping for Briar Cliff last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then kind of went through a simulated scrimmage for some of the things that we think that we're going to see from them on Saturday. And then we'll get back on the practice field today and just kind of stir up some special teams and clean some things up and get ourselves ready for Saturday night's game.
Coach, what part of your game right now are you the most pleased with and most confident in?
You know, I think the way our D-line is played, and I think going in we knew it was going to be something that if those guys stayed healthy, we're going to be pretty good, and they have been all camp long, and they have stayed healthy, and they're going to be a key to our defense. You know, we've talked a couple times about Mackenzie Hemgee and how we're going to try and you know, how you try to replace a guy like that. Well, if you can get good D-line play, you're going to get really good linebacker play, so it's going to start with those guys for sure.
Paul Merkowitz joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You went through a scrimmage on Saturday. I've got a few of the highlights here, but before we break, instead of me breaking it down, you break it down. What did you like Saturday?
You know, I think, you know, we got Troy Ubert came in and played a few more series than he did against Doan, and I think it was good because his first series was a little hit and miss. I think he was a little riled up, even though, you know, you're a senior and you've played. There's no substitute for getting out there and getting nervous and getting through it, and he did. And then led us to three drives for touchdowns after that. I thought we, as the scrimmage went on, we ran the ball pretty well and did some nice things there. And then, you know, defensively, I was really pleased with our effort. I thought we need to tackle a little bit better Saturday night. They've got a real big back who's going to pose some problems for us, especially in the open field. So we're going to have to make sure we shore up some of that tackling as well.
That's kind of the funny thing, isn't it, Paul? If the offense looks good, then you're concerned about the defense. And if the offense doesn't do anything, then the defense is great. Going against your own guys. How do you balance that out?
It's a lot of fun being the head coach sometimes. that's where it's tough. You walk away from an intercept scrimmage, you're not probably going to be very happy.
Coach, obviously three phases of this ball game. How do you feel about your special teams heading in the season?
You know, we've done a lot. We did not use any of the special teams at all Saturday night, which is different for us. But Ernesto, our Lacayo, our kicker, was a little bit sore, and then I just didn't feel like he needed to go out there and prove anything. So we didn't do anything with that, but I think he'll be fine. And you know, we've repped it and worked it, but that's always when you go into that, you go into that first game, you worry about, you know, penalties, turnovers, special teams, all the little variables, and then you make sure that hopefully you've repped enough and done enough work. But I think the special teams were key for us a year ago, and they're going to be as well, especially when you have a quality kicker and punter in Ernesto.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Briar Cliff, Coach. You mentioned they got a pretty big bruising running back there. What else did the Chargers bring?
Well, about the midway point of the season, they made a change of quarterback, and they went with a freshman quarterback last year, and he was really pretty good, led them to two out of their last three games. They won and played pretty well. And like I said, he's back, and he can run it, he can throw it. I mean, it's going to start with him as well as their tailback. They've got two big, tall wide receivers. It seems like they have 6'3 wide receivers there constantly. And so we're concerned a little bit that in terms of some of the things with matchups and that type of stuff. And then defensively, I think they were in the top 10 in the country a year ago. And I think they're, with the guys that they return, they're going to be very solid on defense. And so, you know, I think they're obviously very excited to get the year started as we are, but they have some high expectations, and I think they're a pretty good football team.
Coach, maybe a little unproven at that offensive line, something maybe you can take advantage of.
Well, I'm hoping. Like I said, they look a little young. Now they list their center as a freshman, but I know he's a transfer from Missouri Western, and I know he's a pretty good player. So he's a freshman in their program, but I believe he's actually a junior school-wise. They're going to be pretty good, I think, up front. And they don't do – what they do is not very difficult, but they are physical, and they get downhill with you, which, you know, we're hoping with our defensive line that's something that, you know, if we can play well there, it'll force them to be one-dimensional and then make it hopefully a little easier to defend.
We still don't like Briar Cliff, right?
Well, that game's always in the back of my mind, you know.
every season we can put that game one more farther away, another season farther away. Coach, anticipation is there. It's on the road. Willie will have it on 1230 KHAS. I guess all that's to be said here is get off to a 1-0 start.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week, guys.
All right, Merck, thanks, buddy. Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. Mondays with Merck and Morris. Paul Merkowitz from Hastings, Daryl Morris from UNK. Brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. Taking care of their customers one at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. In that scrimmage on Saturday, by the way, the offense scored on 6 of their 8 possessions against the scout team defense. Troy Hubert, 8 of 11, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also threw a pick. Dalton Seeley, 5 carries, 89 yards, had a 65-yard touchdown run. Zach Beatty got into the end zone on a 17-yard run. Keenan Ballage got in. Calvin Roop scored. So there you go. Those are some of the names that maybe you keep an ear and an eye out for as they get ready to play on Saturday at Briarcliff.
Dalton Seeley, I know not a lot of people are going to pay attention to this game, just fans of Central Nebraska, to see if he learns this offense and can help this team right away.
I know this is a long first segment as it is on Monday, but I've got to say two things. A, my fantasy football team, the first league that I'm in with you, my draft last night sucked. They're going to be terrible. And secondly, common sense. Daddy, we haven't brought it up. Common sense. And you know what? It's been years since we've had to make this point, but I have to call UNK and UNO on the table for this. Why are you playing 6 o'clock Saturday night? This game has been at noon. It's been at 6. It's been at 1. What are you doing? You cannot give me any reason. You can't give me any reason why you are battling the Huskers Saturday night at 6. You play the game at noon. People could go to both. Nobody outside of immediate family is going to go to this football game. They're going to be watching the Huskers, as crappy of a game as it's going to be. They're going to be watching the Huskers. Why? You could right now move that game to noon and increase your crowd. Not decrease it because you're moving the time. Increase your crowd. And you cannot give me a reason.
Tenfold.
You cannot give me a reason. You can't say, well, it's band day at UNO. Then move the game. Kick the band off. Kick whoever's on there off. Soccer game. Get rid of them. Football priority, there is no reason that game is at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Zero zip. I don't care what you tell me. There is no reason.
Night class at UNO. Oh, that's Thursday night.
Yeah, there is
no reason. Oh, no night class. No night class on Saturday. No afternoon class on Saturday. I'm totally right on you on this. I don't know why it's even been. I don't know why it's even a thought.
It's just after we harped on this subject For years, when we first started the radio show, ESPN, got into the sports, moved to Kearney, all of that. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You don't compete with Big Red. Now, once we get into the conference season, it is what it is. But there's no reason to play this game at 6 o'clock Saturday night. None. Kearney can get in the bus and go there at whatever time Saturday morning like they would any other time and play the football game. It's 2.5 hours down the interstate, 3 hours maybe by bus by the time you unload. What? Play it at 1. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's not like you haven't played it at noon or 1 before. It's not like NET has to move this old house to put your football game on. Back with more right after this.
Now here's a report on what's going on at the Nebraska State Fair. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550's news director Tyson Hebronik has the latest.
With another State Fair report, I'm Tyson Hebronik for Platte River Radio. Brandon Esau of Beatrice is not one of those upset about the State Fair moving to Grand Island, as he shows his livestock at the new facilities.
Well, we've been pretty loyal to the State Fair in Lincoln and just thought we'd make the trip out to see what it was like in Grand Island. So brought quite a few cattle for the dairy show, and we'll show in the 4-H and FFA in the U show and also in the open show. We'll show them all twice in this 5 days we're here.
Esau says the facilities are state-of-the-art.
It's pretty impressive. There's a lot of concrete, a lot of big, nice barns. It's pretty fun to be here. I think that probably won't get near as hot as it did in Lincoln with the new facilities, and I think it'll be really nice. They've got a state-of-the-art milking parlor here for us in the dairy side of things, so that's really nice to have that. And so far, we're pretty impressed. We'll see how it goes.
This year's Nebraska State Fair has featured the new livestock facilities. The exhibitors have been treated to a climate-controlled arena, new expensive wash racks, along with an abundant supply of electricity, water, and stalling. This environment has proved to be a very inviting one for exhibitors and fair guests alike. And a new focus this year in the 2010 livestock scheduling, as families have been stalled together, and the schedule will allow for them to be at the fair at the same time. This type of scheduling also benefits the fair patrons, providing livestock exhibits to be visible at the new facilities for the entire run of the 11-day fair. Reporting live from the Grand Affair, the Nebraska State Fair, from Grand Island, I'm Tyson Havronik for Platte River Radio.
We'll have reports six times every weekday during the Nebraska State Fair at 11 past the hour, between the hours of 10 and 5 each day, on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
It's back by popular demand at Bruce Furniture in Hastings and Holdridge. The buy one, get one free sale on Lane recliners. Purchase a world-famous Lane recliner at its regular price and get a second one of equal value absolutely free. If you don't need two recliners, bring a friend and share the savings. Choose from nearly 100 recliners in wall, saver, and rocker recliner styles and colors to fit everyone's room. Easy credit terms plus great savings on comfort. But hurry, the buy one, get one free sale on Lane recliners ends soon. Bruce Furniture, downtown Holdridge, and south of the Landmark Center on Marion Road, Hastings.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a possibility of an isolated shower storm late. With a high of 91, south winds will stay gusty at 12 to 25. There's a slight chance for storms tonight with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
I'll be right back at it by the end of the night.
Can we get in that airplane in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to catch up with the voice of the Hilltoppers at Western Kentucky. Randy Lee is expected to join us. But, Daddy, it was the opening night of the high school football season this weekend, and some interesting matchups and some very exciting matchups. I think the St. Paul Broken Bow game is going to be the game of the week. Scoring on the final play of the game, a Hail Mary type 45-yard pass when they really hadn't thrown the ball all that well. But 27-26, a game that's interesting for the fans. Had some scoring and came down to the last play.
Yeah, Devin Solko caught a pass, 45-yarder from Casey Poss. You know what? Poss threw for 111 yards, 45 of it came on the final play. So probably not exactly the Wildcat forte, if you will. But nonetheless, they got the job done, and I consider that a pretty big upset to start the season. Many people expecting Broken Bow make another run at a state title.
Well, two playoff teams from last year. Of course, Broken Bow played Hastings St. Cecilia better than anybody. And Norfolk Catholic gave them a good comeback there in the championship game. St. Paul lost a quad overtime game to Shadron. Then Broken Bow beat Shadron. They almost met in the playoffs last year. Burwell and Elm Creek, 22-20. You don't even have to look at a box score to know that that came down to points after touchdowns and things like that. Burwell won that one again.
On a field goal.
Playoff games. Ooh, field goal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
25-yard field goal, 7 seconds remaining, so there you go. Kicking game, we say it all the time.
Weird, ain't
get
it?
Get somebody to kick the ball.
They miss some PATs, but then they come through and they get the field goal, so there you go. Burwell and Elm Creek. Minden gets off to a good start there.
Putting 42 points up, good for them, guys.
Congratulations to Shelton, a program that hasn't won a lot of football games recently. They get the job done. Ravenna, plug in more linemen. These kids, they just got them off the street. We're going to see what they do. Bam! And they just took care of Donovan the other night in the game that I covered. Kearney High gets the win. Hastings Not at all what they expected at Hastings High. Adams Central gets a nice win.
Grand Island, you know.
Grand Island was almost the same thing as this. I listened to the end of the football game there. Norfolk converts a 4th-and-12 run around and throw it downfield, and then a 34-yard pass down to the 1 on 3rd-and-7 or 10 with about 22 seconds to go, and they punch it in and win the ball game 35-31.
That leaves a sick taste in your mouth to start week one.
Well, Western Kentucky would like to be in a ball game that gets them down to the final play of the game with a chance to win, because unfortunately they're going to come to Lincoln with a 20-game losing streak, one of the newer 1A programs. And joining us, folks, you know what, Daddy? I think a lot of folks remember Randy Lee being with Nebraska for a long, long time, and now he's the voice of the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, Randy Lee joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy, thanks so much for letting us catch up with you and give us a minute of your time today.
I appreciate the invite. Nice to be back with you guys in Kearney.
Well, right there it is. Randy Lee. Oh, the voice. There it is. Randy Lee, the voice of Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Randy, let's start right there. I don't think it matters who's on the football team when you have to start the year on the road against the top 10 opponent and you haven't won in a couple of seasons. You're just looking to play good football. Tell me a little bit about why this team should be better this year.
Well, I think we're going to be better because, for the most part, our program took a long-term approach last year, actually the last 2 years, of playing mostly young kids, redshirting everyone. And a year ago, we were predominantly a sophomore and freshman team with a few juniors and a couple of seniors scattered around. So if we can just get a little better, a little stronger, a little faster from the returners, I think we're going to be better, with more experience, of course. And then we've had, in 2009, the second-rated recruiting class by Rivals.com in the Sun Belt Conference, and this past year, the number one class with our new coaching staff, according to Rivals.com. So at the Sun Belt level, we are recruiting as well as anyone. So I think once conference season rolls around, the second week of October for us, I think we're going to show a lot of improvement. And who knows? We played reasonably well in a couple of our September games against some of the bigger schools in the BCS a year ago. Our record is a little deceptive. I know everyone says that, but we had 6 games that we were either leading or within a touchdown in the fourth quarter and lost all 6. So we just wore out a little bit. I think our kids lost some confidence when the game got close or when the going got tough late in the game. I think they pretty well felt like, oh, here we go again, and there we went again at 0-12.
Randy Lee, voice of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy, Willie Taggart's going to join us on Wednesday, I believe. What did he bring when he came? Long-time, had a great career there, second on the career rushing list. What did he bring as far as a coach back to this team?
Well, I think he brings maybe some renewed energy and some passion. Not saying that our previous head coach and staff didn't have that, but Willie's a little bit more intense. He was an undersized quarterback. In fact, I don't know if you know the story, but he played behind Tommy Frazier in high school. Tommy went on, of course, and then Willie replaced him. Tommy makes the Nebraska Hall of Fame. Willie's in our Hall of Fame. He's always been undersized. He's always fought for everything he's earned. He went to Stanford and coached Toby Gerhardt. He was the running backs coach and one of the better assistant coaches in the country in terms of how they rank the recruiting. So he's a fighter. He doesn't... he's got a lot of energy and some high goals. He chases excellence. And I think maybe just in the past with us moving up from the FCS level to the FBS level, most of our coaches were here when we were an FCS school. And I think they were maybe accustomed to finishing second to Louisville and second to Kentucky in our state. And our coaches now, they weren't involved when we were at that level. I don't think they want to take no for an answer. So I believe we're a little more maybe aggressive, a little more energetic right now. And we've changed some things, new style of defense. We were lucky and got Clint Bowen as our coordinator. He was the co-defensive coordinator on the Orange Bowl team at Kansas. I don't know how long we're going to have him, but we're lucky to have him now. And Willie was the offensive coordinator on the 2002 National Championship team here at WKU at the FCS or 1AA level, and he coached under Jim Harbaugh last year at Stanford, last 3 years, in fact. So I think we just got new energy, new playbook, just sort of try to blow up most of everything that has gone haywire here in the last year and a half.
Tommy who?
We've heard of him.
For the kids in high school, he quarterbacked Nebraska's last national championship team way back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, Randy, I want to go back. You bring up Jim Harbaugh. Now, Willie played also for Jack Harbaugh, so the whole Harbaugh deal is there.
He is a limb off the Harbaugh tree. In fact, when Jim was quarterbacking the Indianapolis Colts, even at that stage of his career, he knew he wanted to be a head coach. Jack, his dad, was coaching Western Kentucky University, and the program and the athletic department at that point in time was having a lot of financial difficulties. They had a president, in fact, who wanted to do away with football, he said, for a year, then we'll bring it back. Yeah. Well, we know if he would have done away for a year, what would have happened. So they won by a 3-2 vote to keep the team, but we didn't have enough money for uniforms, so Jim Harbaugh got a lot of his Colts teammates to give him their used equipment so we could borrow it here back in those days. And Jim actually went out on the road and recruited for his dad while he was still a member of the Indianapolis Colts. And he recruited. He's the one who first saw Willie Taggart play in the state of Florida. So they are very tight. I think Jack treats Willie as his son. Jim treats him as his brother.
Randy Lee, the voice of Western Kentucky, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach Pelini has been standoffish about what they're going to do at the quarterback position. You guys also had a battle there, and Kawan Jakes ends up winning that battle. From what we heard, it just sounds like Matt really had problems in fall camp. Is that the case?
Well, Matt Pelisasa is the junior college quarterback you're referring to. When the spring started, he was the number one quarterback. For one reason, Kawan Jakes, who was a fabulous high school basketball player in Florida, the 4A basketball player of the year, was told, you know, during spring, you're not playing pickup basketball. Well, he played pickup basketball and suffered a severely sprained ankle. He hardly got a rep in the spring. So he didn't have any reps in the spring, and he was in Willie's doghouse. Coach Taggart told him, I don't think you're going to be able to get out of my doghouse. You are so far in it. Well, Kawan took that as a challenge, and over the last couple of weeks of the spring, he played better than Matt. Matt sort of had a sore arm the last 2 weeks of the fall. Matt had a sore arm the last couple of weeks of the fall, which hurt him a little bit, but I think Kawan is going to win that battle anyway. Despite our record last year as a redshirt freshman, he played extremely well. He didn't have a lot of pass protection. You know, he made some mistakes here and there, but he's a pretty good quarterback at this level, and I just felt like eventually he would win the battle.
Does he still play pickup basketball?
My guess is no. Or he'll be quarterbacking somewhere else in 2 years.
Randy, take us through. I mean, if you win a national championship at any level, you've got to have pretty good fan support. What's the mood now with Western Kentucky's fan base from being a champion and then going through like Bill Callahan years and can't win a game?
Well, it's been tough. I think that's one reason why we have a new head coach this year. Not that Willie Taggart isn't certainly the man for the job. I think he is. But I feel like if our fan base wouldn't have bailed so quickly, to me it's quick, to them it wasn't. You know, we had record attendance for our school the first two games of 2009, tailed off a little bit. We continued to lose games. We lost to a 1AA team, and we just kept losing. And the last game of the year, our attendance was bad. And I think our administration felt like, wow, you know, the fans really jumped off the ship quickly. I mean, it was their first full year at the FBS level, and I don't think they anticipated how rough it was going to be. In 2007, when we're just sort of in between the FCS and FBS, you know, we can schedule whomever you can find at that point in time. We played three Sun Belt teams, one at Middle Tennessee the year after they won the Sun Belt, won that game, had Troy at homecoming, lost by four to them, and had a chance to win it at the end, and lost on the last play of the game at North Texas. Now, those are, you know, two of those teams are really good in the Sun Belt. North Texas wasn't very good, but still, the fans felt, well, we haven't even been in the Sun Belt yet. We're not even at the FBS level full time yet, and we won one and almost won three. So I think they expected us to jump into the Sun Belt last year and just really win a fair share of games and be not maybe not a contender to win the title, but in the middle of the pack. And it didn't happen. And you know, Coach Elson had been here prior when we were at the 1AA level, and I think he's been here a long time. He was an assistant coach here too. So I think they were just pretty well making a statement. We feel there's a need for a change, so we're not going to show up like we had before. But we have a good fan base. It's not great. It's good. In the Sun Belt, it's as good as there is in the Sun Belt. We have a really good regional fan base. But here in the immediate area, I think they were just ready to see the administration make a change. So they made one.
Randy, when fans started watching this game at 6 o'clock, is there one part, one strength of this team that you think, hey, this linebackers are, you know, some of the best around, can compete with anybody, the defensive back? What's the strength of this team, either side of the ball?
Well, I think our tight end, Jack Doyle, is very good. He had a sensational freshman season. I think he's a kid who can play at the next level. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Our tackles, our offensive tackles are veteran kids. They're starting now for their third straight year. I think that's one of our strengths. On the defensive side of the ball, we are extremely young up front, but we do have two young defensive ends. Clint Bennett is a true junior. He started every game since he's been here. He didn't redshirt. Smith on the other side. Those are two kids who can play at an all-conference level. We're quicker than we've been in the secondary, but we're extremely young. We'll probably have three true freshmen, maybe not starting in the secondary, but they're going to see some action. So, but we are picking up in the speed aspect. So we want to be a power football team. We're running the spread. We're going to try to shift to a power attack and run the West Coast offense. I know that's not a word that Nebraska fans like to hear, the West Coast offense, but we haven't had a bad situation with the West Coast here, so everyone is sort of excited about it. But we want to be a power team. And, you know, Bobby Rainey, here's a kid who running behind offensive lines and for teams that weren't too good the last year, and we played a very tough schedule outside the Sun Belt. I mean, we played some big-time teams. He's averaged over 6 yards a carry as a freshman, over 6 yards a carry as a sophomore. He set the school record for kickoff return average a year ago. We're not going to have him return kicks this year because we need to save him because we don't have a lot of depth at running back. But, you know, Rainey is not an NFL kid. He's a little too, maybe just a little too slow. But I tell you what, the kid can break tackles. He's about 5'9". He was a Georgia running back of the year. And he is fun to watch. And I just hope he has a little crease or two once in a while against the black shirts where he can at least exhibit some of that stuff that he can show against other teams that we'll be playing this year.
Well, Husker fans hope that the Hilltoppers get ample opportunity to return kicks on Saturday. They play four of their first five games on the road, including this Saturday at Nebraska, and some point during the season they will snap that losing streak. And Randy, safe travels up here. Can't wait to see you this weekend, and have a great season with the Hilltoppers. Thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, thanks so much, and I appreciate having me back.
Take care, bud. Randy Lee.
Okay, you have a good day.
Had been a part of the Husker family, now with the Hilltoppers at Western Kentucky. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and Coach Taggart will be joining us later this week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tomorrow we are in Lincoln for the Nebraska press conference. Bo Pelini, you'll hear it live every press conference right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wednesday, our Husker lunches begin. We will be in Grand Island. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment as the Husker lunches begin on a Wednesday, and you can come out in Grand Island and ask the questions. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, every other week the boys come rolling through. We will be at Home Federal Bank. The Doug and Daddy Show will be there, so have lunch, come by and see us, and then check things out Wednesday, Home Federal Bank in Grand Island, as it's going to be a great year for Huskers. And 1 week it's Sean, 1 week it's Steve, and we're going to be in Kearney, Grand Island, back and forth and throughout central Nebraska all the way until November 24th. So there you go. Doug and Daddy Show on the road, and we want you to enjoy Husker football. For Western Kentucky, at Nebraska, at Kentucky, then they actually have Indiana. Got them to come in and play their only home game in the first 5 weeks of this season. All guests on the Doug and Daddy Show fed by our friends at Burger King with two locations in Kearney, next to Walmart at 56th and 2nd Avenue and near Kearney Cinema at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. Also in Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte, serving Seattle's best coffee. And maybe you want a little treat. How about $2 doubles with bacon? Oh, could use some bacon today. Just $3 at Burger King.
Flame broil.
Ow! Emails to get to after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. I remember before I started P90X and wondering why I felt like I had low energy. And, you know, you take your shirt off, you're working out, you're not as strong as you want to be, and P90X came to me and offered me a chance for 3 months to totally commit. Listen, I'm a busy guy. I've got the radio show, the TV show, I'm writing a book, now I'm married, 6 kids, some my own, some not. I don't have time to drive. I don't have time to be on the road. But I get home every night. You flip on P90X, a real workout. It was challenging. They don't sugarcoat it. You got to put in the work. I love how they're committed to better nutrition. You got to eat right. They talk about it, think about it, write about it, and force you to do it from all the right angles. I come home, put in the P90X when I just want to look and feel better and get a little tighter. Order P90X completely risk-free for the entire 90 days by calling 1-800-301-P90X. 1-800-301-7909. Or go to ESPNRadio.com/Colin. ESPNRadio.com/Colin. P90X.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's anytime emergency glass service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a possibility of an isolated shower storm late. With a high of 91, south winds will stay gusty at 12 to 25. There's a slight chance for storms tonight with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
Like we always do at this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. John and Carney says, nice move, Trev Alberts, as we go to the Dent Popper inbox. You got a text a while ago said that Trev was the one that didn't want to move this at all.
Again, I don't
what
understand.
What the hell are you thinking, Trev?
I will make a phone call as soon as this show is over to the UNO Athletic Department, and I will ask them why.
Right after we get Pat Burns on the show, right?
You know, we'll ask to get Pat Burns on the show, too, at that same time.
Tom and Hastings says, hey, Daddy, I can't believe that you knew when squirrel season opened and you didn't mention that dove season opens Wednesday.
Oh, big yes. Oh, nothing I'd rather have than just grill up some dove.
Tom, really? Really? You wasted your time with that? Really? Also, Doug seems a bit cranky today. Too many red lights and morons, I guess. Too many something, Tom.
Just saw that.
Too many crappy draft picks last night.
What? You don't know if it's crappy yet. What? You know what? Here's another.
What I want to
here's
say.
Another
How
deal about
people
fantasy.
Say
football.
One thing and do another. Pet peeve.
Here's my pet peeve of fantasy football. You're in the 14th round and you draft somebody and somebody goes good pick. How the hell do you know that? Like you got this. Oh man, that is an awesome pick. I was just thinking. I was looking at that name. That is a great pick. We're in the 14th round. He's going to be on your bench, I'm assuming, unless your draft's really pathetic. Just a thought. Last night, I heard about 8 times. That's a good pick. Okay. How would one know that exactly? Just something to think about when you're at your Fantasy football draft. Boy, you think your draft is bad. You see Torrey's last? Oh, jeez.
By the way, right now they're showing highlights of the Little League World Series. I would, when the little kid, when the 12-year-old is standing on second, signaling to the batter where the catcher is set up, Bean, that's all there is to it. I'd throw right at his belt, right at him. Japan, you're not teaching baseball. You're just not. Misco Sports does, though.
They've still got all the baseball gear for you.
If you want to go smack it around in the last bits of state tournaments here, they've got that. But really what they want is they want to get you set up with football, volleyball. And as we get into the fall sports season, maybe you thought, well, you know what? I can get through this season.
Plus,
no,
they've still got leggings. If you want to be cool this fall and wear some leggings around, they've got them for you at Misco Sports.
They want you to see them before the game begins because they carry brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Columbia, Nike, and more. Get your game on at Misco's in the downtown Kearney Center. You'll be better equipped for the games you play. They also like to talk a little football while you're in there shopping. So they're going to get you set up, whether you want some Husker gear for the big game this weekend, whether you need some new shoes just to go walk around, run around in, or if they're actually football, volleyball, cross country, they got those for you. And not too long before you know, it's going to get a little cool out there on a Friday night. They've got hooded sweatshirts, and not just Nebraska or UNK. A lot of your favorite teams are there as well. Check out the selection at Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. Back after this.
You know how to tell if a man is serious about the work he does with his hands? Look at his feet. If he's standing around in some discount boot, he probably spends his days just standing around. But if he stands in a pair of Red Wing boots, that means he stands for something. He cares about the work he does and the crew he works with. He works with his brains as much as his brawn. Red Wing work boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Live from Progressive.
It's time for Tips from Flo.
Tips from Flo.
Here's a tip about our loyalty program.
Loyalty program.
The savings don't stop when you switch. You're automatically enrolled on day one, and you keep earning great discounts and benefits. And it's free.
It's free.
Are you just repeating everything I say?
Kinda.
Rewarding loyalty. Now that's Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Cumulative benefits are limited, not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the Boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
I fell into a burning ring of fire, and it burns.
No.
There's no burning with a Traeger grill. We cook them low and slow. Hi, this is Scott from Builders, and there's never been a better time to buy a Traeger grill than right now with our State Fair special. Valid at our stores in Kearney or Grand Island, or buy one right at our giant Traeger booth in the State Fair, you'll get $100 off any Traeger, plus a $50 gift card by mail, and we'll throw in a free cover and a free bag of pellets. That's $235 in discounts and upgrades. Plus, if you buy a little Tex grill, we'll upgrade you to a digital thermostat for free. Visit us at the State Fair or stop by one of our stores, Top of the Hill in Kearney, or at the corner of Webb Road and Old 30 in Grand Island. That's Builders, where we do Traeger best. Everybody now, sing with me.
And it burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a possibility of an isolated shower storm late. With a high of 91, south winds will stay gusty at 12 to 25. There's a slight chance for storms tonight with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
Tonight, because falling in love again.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Tomorrow we're in Lincoln. Wednesday we're in Grand Island. A lot of Husker football, but that doesn't mean we're going to forget everybody else. It's also volleyball season. And, Tony, what do you do with a team that many people thought was the best in the country? Nebraska got beat on their home turf yesterday, and Florida's very good. We knew that after they beat Iowa State on Saturday that it was going to be a whole different ball yesterday. And Nebraska fought off, won off four match points in the third set. They won it. They easily won the fourth set. They get out to an 11-7 lead in the fifth and then can't finish the deal, which is very strange. They had all the momentum, and Florida somehow found a way to get a little string going and win it.
Yeah, I don't take – you know, Doug, you got beat by a pretty good team, and it looked like they handled you the first two games in that match. So, I don't know. It's a fairly good team. You want to see them down the road. I don't know you can take too much out of it. I know you're going to be disappointed. You wanted to win them all. You're more disappointed if you're Iowa State and you lose a player for the season-ending knee injury. You know, in the first set, I believe, of that match, the first day, that just stinks overall, because you're trying to step up and compete with Texas and Nebraska, rival them for a Big 12 championship, and now looks like all hopes are gone. You've got to have players that you weren't expecting. I mean, it's not exactly a Nebraska deal where you've got a 6'5 girl that's just not quite on the court because she's not quite good enough. You're going to move other people up there hopefully the best for them. But Nebraska, I think Nebraska's fine. I think they probably take more. If you win, everybody relaxes a little bit. I think you focus them in a little bit more, and maybe that helps them more than it hurts them, actually.
I think if this team does well, they have really overcome adversity, because I was talking to Kelsey Peterson, the Kearney High grad that plays for Iowa State, talking to her dad a week ago, and because of that flooding, they don't get to play at Hilton Coliseum because it's ruined the facilities, the floor. So they're playing in a high school that seats, he says, it's about 2,000. And if I remember right, not air-conditioned. And he said this year, the new Iowa State uniforms, long sleeve. Don't you just say, bring the old ones out. That's okay. We'll save those for next year. But they're going to be playing in a Coliseum, which most of the time, let's face it, people don't go out and watch it like they do in Nebraska. 2,000 anywhere would be a pretty amazing, even for the Pac-10, even for the very storied programs. Nebraska is the number one there in attendance. But when Texas goes up or when Nebraska goes over, it's going to be almost impossible to get a ticket to these Iowa State games. They didn't want to move it because they were afraid the students wouldn't go watch it if they went down to Des Moines for a couple of these big games in an arena where you can have it and host people. So, you know, that's their decision, and there they go. But how much home court advantage do you have if you're not playing on your home court with your locker room there, with everything that you're used to?
Yeah, it's going to be some more adversity. We'll see if they can battle through it. Certainly presented with a bunch of it to start the season, though.
Hastings College volleyball team opened their season going 2-2 at St. Ambrose in Davenport, Iowa, beating Trinity and Illinois Institute of Technology, losing to the hosts and Mount Vernon Nazarene. They head to Bellevue this weekend. And the UNK volleyball team has to be pretty fired up because they're getting ready to go to Tampa. They're going to play outstanding competition, and they still get to be in Tampa.
Nice, coach.
Soccer
couldn't,
team.
Couldn't make Hawaii this year. Had to go to Tampa, huh?
And, you know, they throw in a North Dakota for that exciting trip once in a while, too. University of Mary scored 2 second-half goals to beat UNK 2-0 Saturday, so they're now 1-1 on the season. They're off until their home opener next week, September 7th, welcoming in Augustana. And Mortise Ivy will have her jersey retired for the Nebraska women's basketball program sometime.
Surprised that has not happened already.
Finally, so there you go. Tom Chattel picks Nebraska to lose a few games, Daddy. He picks them to narrowly beat Washington. His column has Zach Lee, the starter, to barely beat Washington, to beat Texas, but to lose to A&M and to Kansas State.
Well, Tom was drinking.
And beat Iowa in the Fiesta Bowl. There you go. And beat Iowa State on the road. Kind of a funny column. Check it out, omaha.com. Pick up the World Herald. Tom Chattel's there. We want to thank our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show every Monday. Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College football coach. Daryl Morris, UNK football coach. Also to the voice of Western Kentucky, Randy Lee, for joining us on the show. Tomorrow, Bo Pelini's press conference. We are live in Lincoln. We'll have a couple of special Husker guests to join us while we are there. So make sure and join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, we'll see you then. 11 11- o'clock tomorrow morning. 1416 Cardinal. 1550 in Hastings. Bye-bye for Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Cardiff.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.